We're just clearing out, making room for good stuff to come on in the new year. Mm-hmm.
It's like a good poop. You gotta make room.
I suppose that's one way to put it.
The new year is like an enema.
Oh no, I'm gonna stop you there. I'm gonna stop you there.
Okay, cue the music. This is Be Createful, a podcast about finding fullness through creativity. I'm Joe.
And I'm Madison. And today on episode 100 of the Be Createful podcast, we are talking about turning 100, having 100 episodes.
Oh my goodness.
So neither of us wore any sort of like 100 covered t-shirts like kindergartners might on the 100th day of school. But we are reflecting back on our past 100
I heard
episodes.
You talking about that with someone, 100 things. So only kindergartners do it?
I would say typically kindergartners. There's probably
this
some older
something
kids that
I
do
did
this.
In school. So on the 100th day of school, you wear a shirt that has 100 things
glued,
on it.
Either glued or painted on it.
So 100 of the same things.
Yeah, like pom-poms, googly eyes,
so
hearts.
We would maybe put 100 lemons on something.
Yeah. It's 100 episodes. Who thought we would get here?
Well, I'll be honest. I did. I mean, not at the beginning.
You had faith in us?
But yeah, since we just kind of keep doing it.
You know, if you do things one at a time, eventually you'll get to 100.
That's right. So my sisters and I hiked the John Muir Trail several years ago, and getting to our 100th mile was a big deal.
How many miles is it altogether?
It was 200, like officially the trail is like 220, but then you still have to hike back down and like get off the trail. So really it's like 230.
Okay.
So 100 wasn't halfway.
No, but
it was a big deal.
It's significant. Mm-hmm. Just as this is significant for us mm-hmm. today.
And we actually stopped short of 100 miles to spend the night. Like our goal was we were going to camp at 100 miles, but we had a really hard day and we stopped at like 98 and a half.
Oh.
But it's one of those times when we were like chose to stop and rest, and hey, we can get to 100 in the morning.
Yes.
It's
exactly.
Still gonna be there.
Yeah.
I felt like that was really mature of us.
That is.
Went back and listened to the 50th episode.
All right, what'd you hear?
And first of all, we recorded it the day after the kids' Christmas party.
Yes.
Which yesterday was the kids' Christmas party.
Oh man, look at us go.
We also had just cleaned off the calendar, my big wall calendars in my office, and we just did that here too. But it makes sense because that was only 50 episodes ago, and that's like a year.
Yes.
So it exactly. makes sense that it would like happen at the same time every year that we're recording this.
Goes to show that make do, its work culture has its own traditions mm-hmm. that come around the end
but
of the year.
That episode came out on December 20th, so it came out on my birthday week.
December 20th. Okay, yes.
Yeah. And it is currently... Hey, it's December 20th right now.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, isn't it? Yeah. So...
Date of recording.
But this episode will come out the first episode in 2023.
Yeah.
So we took a little bit... I think we took 2 or 3 weeks of a break this year. So that's why it's not like, you know...
Sometimes it's funny when you're recording, not on or close to the day where you're releasing. So I'm like, new year, new me. I wonder how 2023 me is doing right about now.
Yeah, how is 2023 Madison?
I don't know. We'll see. I'll check back in with you. I'll let you know.
Uh-huh. Like you from the future.
Yeah.
So I thought instead of reinventing the wheel, we could just kind of have the same conversation that we did for episode 50. And what inspired me for this is, one, it's hard to celebrate, know how to celebrate, like, miles, like what did we want to do for 100 episodes?
Yeah.
Also, Billie Eilish records a interview with Vogue every year, and they ask her the same questions, and she will answer it, and then they show like her previous year's response, and it's cool to see her grow or respond to what past Billie said. So some of the questions it may be
might be
relevant.
Similar. Yeah.
So do you want me to just ask you the questions?
Yeah.
We'll just go back and forth.
Hit us up.
Is there any more warming up to the episode that you want to do?
Oh, no. I'm ready to jump right on in.
Okay. So the first question.
Yeah.
What was your favorite episode we've recorded within the last 50? So yes. 51 to 99.
So I wrote like 5 or 6, actually.
I have a few.
So I guess I'll have to say like more than one. My favorite most recent one we did was the one with Andrew Cook where we talked about music, which that's episode 95. Yes. If you missed it, I would highly recommend. Yes. There's something about talking to someone who has a true passion for what they do that no matter what they're talking about, it's completely fascinating. Mm-hmm. And Andrew Cook is one of those people who is deeply steeped in his craft. Mm-hmm. So getting to hear from him was wonderful.
Yes.
So it's one of
I'll mention that one later.
Okay.
That episode. But I think my favorite, well, no, I know my favorite in the last 50 was episode 69. And nice. It was called This Not That, 10 Things That Are Better Than Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And we talk about, because perfection is a recurring topic for us here, and I actually listened to it today, and I never go back and re-listen. We say some really good things, Madison.
Whoa. Let me tell you, sometimes when someone puts a microphone in front of you, you might actually start saying some cool stuff.
Well, it just makes me think people are saying meaningful, wise things all the time,
mm-hmm.
but we don't, it's not being recorded. And so then
we're also not listening. We're thinking about the next thing to say.
That's true. But even as hard as I try to listen to you in the podcast or even my own thoughts, they still are happening in a moment, like in a conversation. And so it's easy to
just forget. Yeah. Unless you go back and reflect. That's something that I've been trying to practice recently is when I've had deep conversations with my friends, when I have quiet moments, I try to go back and think about that conversation and try to like relive it in the sense that like I'm replaying it in my head. And the same way with some therapy sessions, because I know that's how it's going to sink in, you know? So.
Yeah. But it's still, even with repetition, it won't all sink in. Like you'll forget.
You'll forget some things, but it's definitely better than just having a conversation and never going back to it. So anyways, another one of my favorite episodes was one on rest because that's episode 74 that has really informed how I try to pursue my days off and how I try to take care of myself because I don't just try to do one form of rest and like, oh, if I just go on a vacation, I'm going to feel better. I have to think more critically about what my rest is like. So if you dig that sort of thing, you can go back to episode 74 and re-listen to that. What about you?
That was a good one. Episode 86 was...
That's on mine too!
You're Not Alone in Your Loneliness. And we talked about being alone versus being lonely. Are they the same thing? Are they not? How do we find connection?
Yes. I really like that one. Not only because I was preaching to myself, but we had some people reach out to us and say, I really needed to hear this podcast because I'm lonely. Mm-hmm. And I'm so glad that you shared this with us.
Mm-hmm. It's also an episode that is a good example of, well, like I just said, we say really smart things. We don't have degrees, like we don't have therapist degrees or psychology or neuroscience or sociology or like anything that would inform us to
sort of on an objective scale.
Right.
What we have is experience.
Right.
Living life as people.
So sometimes I think I don't really have anything to say about that, or the things that we have to say are just anecdotal. So it's always meaningful when people reach out and say that something we said connected with them.
Yes. I think this podcast is a practice in understanding that we are not experts, but there's still something to be gleaned from people. Our culture has really idolized, oh, well, does someone have a degree in this? Do they have, you know, what kind of credentials do they have?
Kind of. And at the same time, totally disregards expertise.
But here's the thing, though. This is something that's big in the education world. You can be an expert in something, but you can be a terrible communicator. So if you are unable to properly communicate or correctly communicate the data that you have to somebody else, people are going to take that and skew it. You have to be able to do it in a way that's deliverable. So that being said, no, we are not experts, so take what we have with that knowledge. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean that we totally discount what people have to say anecdotally. Mm-hmm. There is wisdom in people's experience. Mm-hmm. You just have to take it as that's one person's experience.
Right.
So, all right. A few more real quick. The episode 93 where we talked about color, I mean, I could have just kept talking uh-huh. for 2 or 3 hours about it just because I just find it so fascinating. A lot of my favorite episodes have been ones that are deep dives and very heady. I know that's really not your jam and maybe not everyone else at home, but I just really like digging into a topic and all of its different sort of tangents and all of that. Mm-hmm. So that was just good fun for me.
Yes. It's interesting because in the 50th episode, because mm-hmm. The next one we're going to talk about is like what was the hardest episodes. Mm-hmm. And one that you mentioned was Death of the Author. And mm-hmm. I don't remember off the top of my head what number it was. I think it's like in the 40s somewhere maybe. But it was another heady episode. And you said almost exactly the same thing.
Yes.
That you love like diving in.
Mm-hmm. I love getting deep. And the thing is that it doesn't necessarily have to be like about something that's like, ooh, super deep and like color. That's not really a deep topic mm-hmm. that people talk about, but there is a vastness there to explore. And so I think my desire for new things and knowledge gets caught up in the sort of strange and interesting depths that you can get even from talking about color or music
yeah.
or paint or anything.
Sometimes those episodes are hard because, again, we're not experts. And so I feel like there's a lot of work on the front end of, hey,
yeah,
we need to do some research.
Yeah, just casually do some Googling, yeah. you know, figure out what other people have to say on it. But I'm a human encyclopedia, so there's some facts that I can just pull out of myself because I love doing that on my own time.
Yeah. And I am not like that. Or I don't hold the facts in my head.
Mm-hmm.
I was just listening, speaking of color, the color episode, I was just listening to another podcast and I don't remember why she talked about this, but she was talking about how magenta isn't real. And you said in the color episode, purple isn't real, but magenta actually is real because it's one of the primary light colors. But anyway, it just made me think of you. Okay. In contrast to your favorite episodes being the heady ones, my favorite are the really light ones.
Yeah.
So I thought of episode 87 where we did the ABCs of creativity.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it was a little heady. We had to remember the alphabet and come up with words that started with the letter.
Yeah, we basically had an acrostic poem of creativity.
And I like all of the 10 things giving us zest.
Mm-hmm.
I like those episodes.
They're fun. They're very much in the moment, and I enjoyed them.
Yes, I think that I like the episodes that don't require as much prep because the podcast a lot of times can feel like an interruption to my day.
Mm.
Or there's work I do on the back end of it too.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes I'm like, oh, I don't feel like I have time for this. So I like the episodes that are either light and breezy or something where I like any episode on perfection or where I feel like I have can speak deeply from my own personal experience. Mm-hmm. So
understood.
Okay. What's the hardest episode in the last? 50?
Oh, I have one more favorite episode.
Oh, sorry.
And it's, it was early on in the '50s. It's, episode 54 where we talk about vulnerability and creativity, mm-hmm. because I think those things are mm-hmm. so linked and it's very much linked in my own journey as becoming a better, more holistic human being as being vulnerable in our creativity.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay. Hardest.
Well, I just told you about my favorite, so why don't you tell me about, do you have a list of hardest ones?
I have two.
Okay, well, I have one, so you're going to go first.
Okay, episode 77 that came out around the 4th of July, and the title was We Find These Truths to Be Self-Evident.
Oh, I liked that one too a lot.
It was, the role of creativity in starting a nation.
Yes.
That was a hard one for me.
Like a hard one to make or
it was
talk
just
about,
a hard
or?
One to like... to connect with, I guess, because I didn't feel, one, I'm not patriotic.
Mm-hmm.
at all, really, especially like after traveling abroad. But I appreciate like the history, and I felt like I didn't know enough to really participate in the conversation. Mm. So it would be, I haven't gone back and listened, so it would be interesting to see what it sounds like where I was, but I just remember feeling like I couldn't really find my footing in the conversation.
Gotcha.
So that was a hard one for me.
I understand that. Now that I look down at my notes, the one that I had picked out was actually one that like I learned the most from, which I think is a question that's later on. So
it's next.
Why don't you talk about your other hardest one?
So my other hardest one was episode 485, Important versus Urgent. And that was the one
that we like basically had an in-depth debate about like
an in-depth disagreement that never got resolved, and that we just were fundamentally coming from different places. And one, it took us a while to realize we were coming from different places. And then once we realized it, we couldn't get over it.
Mm-hmm.
Like we just kept going back to the crossroads where things weren't matching up. And I feel like I will never go back and listen to that episode.
It's like one where you're like, I can't just like subject myself to that.
And it's one that after we recorded, it took me a couple days to shake it. And I don't know, like just the, how are we disagreeing this much?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah, that one would have been a good one to have a moderator come in and be like, all right, I hear what you're saying. And being able to turn it into some sort of, like, be able to take that and then spit it out in another way that we could both understand. So, yeah, I get that.
Like, usually, because I know we don't think the same.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that comes up almost, I don't know, every other episode, that we don't think the same. But I kept being like, how are we, like, even our language,
mm-hmm.
we're not on the same page, and how is that possible?
Yeah, I'm looking back through, and I wouldn't say that any of these episodes were difficult for me necessarily to record, with the exception of probably the one that you just mentioned, where it's difficult to sit in a room and continue to disagree with someone and not just give in. And just be like, oh, okay, yeah, you're right. Because that is not proper communication, to just agree with someone because mm-hmm. you're tired of arguing. Sometimes you have to stand your ground and say, hey, I still don't feel that way. I hear what you're saying, but that's not how I feel. So in some ways, that was a hard one to record. Also,
I mentioned in that one, there was a matrix, like a published thing that I had seen online that I was basing it mm-hmm. off of. And if I had shared that, I just assumed, like, I don't know why, that maybe in teaching, I don't know, I thought it was something everyone knew about. And that is what I was basing mine off of, and why it took me so long to figure out that we weren't on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
And once you looked that up, the conversation was totally different. But yeah, it took, that was a tough one.
Yeah. I would say one that was like interesting to wrap my brain around, maybe difficult to kind of be in, was the scarcity versus abundance mindset, episode 59, where I knew nothing.
Yeah.
And so I kind of just sat there and I tried to ask questions. I love doing that. But it's not a mindset that I had been used to thinking in.
Yeah.
And so I felt a little, I mean, slightly uncomfortable. I've been trying to get comfortable with being uncomfortable lately. So again, I wouldn't say, oh, I didn't like any of these. It was just different.
And that one, because the next one is, what did we learn the most in?
Mm-hmm.
And the first one that I have is episode 91, which we talked about Dungeons and Dragons.
Oh, yeah.
And so that was kind of another one similar to the scarcity and abundance mm-hmm. one, except the roles were reversed. Like, I know nothing about Dungeons and Dragons,
yes.
and you were explaining it and I was asking questions, and the scarcity and abundance was similar.
Yeah. Also, you didn't put Dungeons and Dragons in the title of that episode. I was kind of shocked. I was like, where's my Dungeons and Dragons episode? And it just says, Madison wanted to talk about this for a long time.
Because I was afraid if I put Dungeons and Dragons in the title, people wouldn't listen to it.
Oh, okay.
Wow. It says it right in the...
in the show notes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like right at the top of the description.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because if I just saw a podcast I listened to all the time and then all of a sudden they were talking about Dungeons and Dragons, I would probably not listen to it.
Yeah, I guess that's where I... this is where I differ. If there's something on, if it's a podcast I listen to regularly and they're like, we're going to talk about football, I'm like, why are they talking about football? I'm going to listen and see what it's about. Like, I'm going to check it out.
I would maybe eventually.
Yeah.
But sometimes I will save podcast up until I'm driving home or something. Mm-hmm. And so then I would probably end up skipping.
Just skip over that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, this goes in the same column in my mind of I listen to albums. I don't listen to songs.
Oh.
Like, I'm going to listen to this particular band's album, and I listen to the songs all the way through, which I guess is weird for my generation. Most people have, like, playlists and things. So I don't really do that. Mm-hmm. I listen to albums, so.
But it's not so weird because now your generation is back to vinyl anyway, so.
I know. My sister got a vinyl record of a Christmas album that originally came out on CD. And she's like, look what my husband got me. This is so cool. And I thought, wow, we're going backwards.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Regressing.
Okay. What did you learn the most? I have three total, 91.
Oh man.
Dungeons and Dragons.
So one of them was the scarcity and abundance mindset. Mm. Another one is episode 55, When Creativity Gets You Down. This is the one where I was trying to go through my creative process at home through sewing, and I was really struggling to figure out why creativity wasn't working for me. Mm. And I talk about this in the podcast too, where I'm like, I kind of preach how good creativity is and it's not working for me. What do I do?
Yeah.
Not only did I like learn necessarily things in the moment as I was listening, but I've taken those thoughts and built upon them where now I've given myself grace and acceptance of, hey, remember that time last year where you were going through like a big slump in January and you're experiencing it now in December again? Maybe this is just kind of a cyclical nature for you and it's okay to be there and just find other ways to get around that. And I was like, yeah, this is good. So I'm always grateful to be able to have experiences and then look back on them and be like, oh, this is why it's good to get older and wiser, because it makes whatever is coming next, like a little bit, you can handle it with more, how do I put that? Like you can just handle it better. You get good at handling it.
Right.
Well, it doesn't make it easier.
One, it's not new.
Yeah.
Maybe. You see that it comes and goes.
Mm-hmm. It does end. That's another thing too, is that these seasons of life, these phases that we go through, it does end.
And I think a lot of times with seasons and phases, it's not really about you. You just have to keep walking through it, right? It isn't something you did. It's not your fault that you feel a certain way. It's a number of things coming together, you know, it's kind of a perfect storm or whatever. So it's not if it's not your fault, it can sometimes make it easier to accept and like just move through.
Yeah.
It's two more episodes I learned from, you've already mentioned, so I won't talk about them super long. One, the color wheel. So that was episode 93 when we talked about color, and you tried to tell me the color wheel is a lie. And I got really flustered for a minute because I had a whole 3 hours worth of college credit on color theory based on the color wheel. Mm-hmm. And episode 95 with Andrew about music.
Yeah.
I loved that one. And I learned from it because I don't know anything about music. So that was an enjoyable one. I always like it when we have other people come on, even though it's stressful for me. Because we're not an interview podcast. And so sometimes having a new person come in, I want them to have a good time. I want to represent them well. It can be stressful.
Mm-hmm.
Any others you learned from?
Episode 57, where we talk about, it's called Trash to Treasure. We talk about people turning quilts into coats and things with, I think
Denise
was on that podcast. Also really cool to hear about other people's perspectives on what to do with creative pieces as they pass through time.
Right. There's a new, well, it's a YouTube channel that's been out for a while, but I just stumbled across it. And the lady who runs it does Zoom calls, like a podcast, but she does it on her YouTube. So it's visual. Mm-hmm. Anyway, she's talking to someone who's made all these quilts, and they're talking about what they want them to want to happen with them in the future. And she says, I mean, as long as no one ever makes a quilt with a coat with one of my quilts or something, which is what that where that episode stemmed from.
Man, I just think about my own mortality and like, it's not gonna matter. Like when I go, it's like, well, all that stuff's got to go somewhere.
That episode is another good one to see our own, I'll use the word biases, but I don't know if that's the right one. Like, how it drives me crazy when people paint or destroy beautiful mid-century furniture for no reason. Like, it looks fantastic. Well,
and I would say,
not for no reason.
There is a reason.
Yes.
You don't think it's justified. And I get that.
But, like, there's no, it didn't, it was in great condition. I'll say it that way.
Okay. There were no flaws. It wasn't broken.
It wasn't like it needs repaired anyway. So instead of restoring it, I will upcycle.
Yeah.
I don't know. I will remake
see that
it into
podcast
something else
to hear more.
Like that really bothers me. But some of the other things, turning an old quilt into a coat doesn't have that effect on me.
Yeah. Whatever.
Okay. So that was one you learned from.
Yes.
Yes. All right. Any other episodes that you want to highlight?
Man, it was good fun talking about Dungeons and Dragons for that long. That's what I'm going to highlight right there.
And I think I shared this on the podcast recently, but Mooley had no idea what Dungeons and Dragons was. And when she listened to that episode, she was relieved to know that it was not like she had thought. A game similar to Cops and Robbers where you're running around outside, like from the Sonic to the church building.
Yes.
That's what she had envisioned Madison running around in her
in
fairy
whatever
costume.
Costumes. Yeah. Help us all. We touched on a lot of really interesting topics like gatekeeping and loneliness and like being able to collaborate with other people. And I've been really impressed with how we've been able to tackle some topics that I didn't think we'd tackle.
Mm-hmm.
So,
is there when I don't know what number? Oh, it must have been this year. We did one called Two Truths and a Lie.
Yes,
where we talk about binary thinking, but I don't remember. Is that within the 50?
Yes, it is. It's episode 53.
Okay. That was a good one too.
I did enjoy that one as well. That is something that I've been putting into practice in my own life, holding two truths in tension with each other. So I do like that.
Speaking of that, this was a question that I was going to ask later, but it fits now. Is there a topic that you would never get tired of talking about? Not creativity, not that, duh. But
yeah, obviously color was one of them. Anything to do with how we interact with other people. Mm. So some of my favorite podcasts are the ones where we talk like vulnerability or loneliness or relationship through creativity. I could talk about that forever because I think people are so fascinating. Mm-hmm. What about you?
I am not relational like you are. I will never get tired of talking about perfection.
As seen by how many times perfection comes up in the titles of our podcasts.
Right. And I think I talk about perfectionism a lot, and that's my hang up. And one thing you talk about a lot is grace.
Yes.
And giving yourself grace, giving other people grace.
Yeah.
Having grace in general. So
cutting yourself some slack, people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
And those things are connected, but I think I could talk about it forever because it's something I will never. It will always be a struggle for me.
Yeah, me too. Me too, in the sense of what I talk about a lot is the very thing I'm going to be working on probably till the day I die.
Yeah. What's the hardest part about recording, about the process?
Oh, that's so, it can be really hard to say. So I have been finding my voice recently, and I think what makes me a good conversationalist, at least in the past, was I could pretty much jive with whatever someone is telling me. Like I can be like, oh yeah, I see where you're coming from. Or yeah, that makes sense. Mm. But finding my own voice means that I also need to make space for me and my own opinions. And I think you can really hear that in the urgent versus important. I was going to say imminent.
Oh. ominous.
Ominous, yeah. Versus important, yeah. And that can be uncomfortable. Like I'm trying to be more comfortable with having uncomfortable conversations. And I think that's important to have sometimes in a podcast to show good conflict resolution, mm-hmm. that two people can like get through that.
One thing specifically about that episode, but I think it occurs in others. It's just that is such a great
it happened the whole time
example.
Most of the time it's like, oh, you thought we were talking about like seasons, like spring, winter, and fall versus like periods of time.
Yeah. A lot of times, because I didn't disagree mm-hmm. with anything that you were with any of your intention mm-hmm. Or with any of the what the disagreement was on was how we were defining the words. Mm-hmm. And I think that in communication is what we don't stop and get on the same page with our vocabulary. Mm-hmm. And at some point you do have to say, okay, together we are going to define what these words mean in our setting. And we can't both just keep saying, this is what it means to me. Mm-hmm. Because then that means we need more language. Mm-hmm. And we don't take that kind of time, especially in a cultural conversation that our whole society is having. Yes. Everyone is screaming what they believe, mm-hmm. and no one has to be wrong. This is the thing about holding two truths, yes. right? It's not that anyone is wrong. It's that we're using all the same words. We haven't taken the time to define what those words mean and then come up with new words when those words are not serving the conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yes. No, I agree wholeheartedly with that.
And so similarly, the hardest part of recording for me is I think really taking the time to distill what I think about a topic into actual words, because mm-hmm. most of the things that we talk about are inside. They happen inside.
It happens inside your own head.
Or in your imagination. Yeah. Or, you know, creativity is...
You can't reach out and touch that.
No. I mean, you can reach out and touch the things, the products of it.
Yeah, the expressions of it. Mm-hmm. But it's not something you can grasp. So,
and I thought that... been feeling like, man, we really think differently. And maybe part of it is because you, like you just said, mm-hmm. are finding your own voice. But I said it in the last episode, in the 50th one.
Yeah.
Like, man, we think differently.
I think people would be very shocked if they're in constant conversation with each other to realize how differently that they can think. But also it can simultaneously also show, wow, we also have a ton in common.
Right.
And that's the fascinating part of people is we can be so similar and so different all at the same time in different ways. It's just like this delectable soup of humanity, and I love it.
And it's easier to just have things in common.
Oh, yes.
So even if we know we have differences with people, we don't always push on those buttons unless mm-hmm. we're like trying to make someone mad.
Sure.
So sometimes it's easier to just focus on what we have in common.
And typically it's surfacey things that we have uh-huh. in common. And so that's what keeps a lot of relationships on the surface is like, oh, well, we both like the same sports team or we both like watching the same movies. But my best friends have been people who are very different from me, who don't share my interests. Mm-hmm. And part of that's because your girl's got some niche interests. There's not a lot of people that are coming up to me being like, hey, did you make that 1950s dress that you were talking about? Because I just made mine last weekend. That doesn't happen. Oh, yeah. So I've had to look outside my own circles of interest to find people to connect with.
And our differences go beyond interest, right? Because mm-hmm. that is even kind of an easy thing to be like, oh yeah, we like different kinds of movies. Yeah. That's okay.
That's surfacey. But then when you start getting into like, this is how I like to live my life. Mm-hmm. Ooh, you're talking about something that is really hard to connect with, to kind of get over that or to find ways to connect even when someone's life is different. Like I think about my friend who is living single in Nashville. Our lives look very different, mm-hmm. but we still try to find ways to connect. Or like people who are in different life stages, mm-hmm. like my friend who has grown kids.
Okay. When you said who has grown kids, I know what you mean now, but when I was listening to you, I was thinking she grew them.
Yeah. like she planted them in a garden and watered them and
something. I don't know. There was no reason
why that she grows cabbage patch kids. Yes. That's her job.
My brain just was a little behind you.
Yeah. So even in those different stages of life, you have to figure out a way to connect.
I think because we were talking about what we're interested in.
Yes.
And so I thought you were going to say my friend who has grown, like her interest is growing her garden.
Yeah.
Her interest is in growing her kids.
Yes. Help us all.
Your favorite part of recording?
It's a way for us to be able to communicate with each other in a concise manner, in a one that has parameters on it. During the workday. So this reduces the amount of times that we pop into each other's offices and it's like, so I have some thoughts.
It reduces it on the day that we record.
At least then.
And I would maybe push back a little on concise because lately they have not been under an hour.
No, maybe not. So how about a concentrated?
Yeah.
Like it's a...
Intentional?
Yeah, intentional. How many times do people get to have a weekly time where they go and catch up with someone? Some people might, mm-hmm. where they're like, oh, I call my mom on Tuesdays. I'm like, cool. I don't naturally do that, but this kind of has an outside force that like...
But also it's not just catching up, right? I think that my favorite part about it is also the hardest part about it. And that it makes me... One, it's made me learn to be a better listener. Mm-hmm. We also don't have the luxury of, cause like we got to keep it moving for you guys. Right. So it's not, if Madison says something that is way out of left field for me mm-hmm. or really, you know, comes up in my blind spot, I don't have time to say, you know what, let me think about that for a minute.
Yeah. And then we change the subject to something else because that wouldn't make sense in the context of this content.
So sometimes maybe the thing that is hard where we're butting up against each other or not on the same page is also we have to move past that quickly to keep having a conversation.
Yes.
And I think that that's good skills.
It is good skills to learn how to listen and to... Like, all right, I can't sit here and think about this. I don't have the luxury of time, but all I have is like this moment to engage in this conversation.
And it, what you just said connects nothing to what I was going to say next. What do we do with that?
Yes.
Yeah, we still kind of have to make it be a conversation.
Yeah. We become queens of the segue. Like that, just like transitioning. Over.
Well, in the 50th episode, you used to always try to come up with a clever segue.
Yes.
For anything.
I'm over that now.
Yeah. And in the 50th, that was one of the things I said you had learned, that you didn't have to do that anymore. Because Madison, I would just be able to see on your face, you would be trying to do this gymnastics of Joe just said this and how do I tie it into this thing that I'm going to say.
Yeah.
And we don't do that now.
Yeah. We've now just letting it happen.
Now you say the color wheel's a lie and I say.
Excuse me?
Okay. Well, here's what I'm going to say.
Yeah. Yes.
Any other favorite parts? I don't have any more, so there's no expectation.
Your girl loves to talk a lot. And I was trained to be in a classroom talking for a majority of the day. Now I talk for max 2 hours a day with kiddos. So this helps get some of my words out.
Mm-hmm.
got a lot of words to use.
Does Richard have a lot of words?
Not by the time he gets home. So for those who don't know, he's a therapist. And so he's talking to people for anywhere between 4 to 6, sometimes 7 hours a day. Yeah, I'm lucky if I've got a grunt when I come home. So
that would be tough.
It is. I like to tell people the cobbler's kids have no shoes, which is like, you'd think that, oh, you're married to a therapist. You have someone who is, you know, willing to be there and talk and be in his emotions. But he just got paid to do that for 8 hours a day. What makes you think he wants to come home and do that?
For free.
He's tired. Right.
Also, it's his job. It's different. It's just like us and creativity is our job. And so sometimes creativity, our own creativity outside of work is not we're going to want to rest because we just did it.
Like, before I had this job, if someone came to me and like, hey, can you help me with my cosplay and teach me how to sew? I'd be like, yes, let's do it right now and spend a whole weekend doing it. But now that I've been helping my friends with their cosplays, it can be kind of tiring when I have a class and then we come back up here and I teach them how to sew. And I'm like, I feel like I just did this already.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's all right. I still enjoy it. So for me, it's okay for me to continue to do that. But I understand that. You know, Richard's got, you know, he's had to do that for 7 hours. He needs a break before he can really engage.
I would have to have a break.
Yeah.
What do you get out of the podcast?
I get good conversation with another adult because most of the time I'm in a kid's class. Mm-hmm. So I do enjoy that. Again, I get to use up my words. I have a place to share my wisdom. I don't currently have children. And obviously, Richard, he doesn't want to have as many in-depth conversations with me.
After he has no words left.
After he has no words left. So this allows me a place to share my wisdom with other people. And it gives me another form of expression. It is, in my opinion, it is creative to be in conversation with people. And so it allows me to express my creativity in a way that doesn't take up room in my sewing room.
Right. Or you don't have to go buy more fabric for it.
Exactly. Talking is free.
What I get out of it is that it keeps me engaged and active with our mission, like with creativity.
We're reconnecting with our core.
Yes. And specifically with making creativity accessible and exploring not the boundaries of creativity, but the different rivers of creativity and how it gets expressed in people, barriers that people run up against. I think that's why I could always talk about perfection because it's something we see over and over and over in classes that is a stumbling block. It just is a good way to wrestle with what it is we're trying to do at Make Do and why it's important.
In some ways, this is like a collaborative journal between you and I on creativity. For those of you who don't journal, journaling is an excellent way to just kind of think out your thoughts. Because sometimes if they're just hanging out in your head, it can be very hard to get a grasp on what it is you actually think about. And when you start writing it down on a page or you're talking to someone else and you're having to think about what you're saying, it causes you to like, oh, do I really know what I'm saying? Do I really understand these ideas that have been floating through my head? I have to give them justification and give them credence and time. I think that's what's important about this is it's like our little journal of creativity.
And can those thoughts exist outside of the vacuum of my mind?
Yes.
Like once the elements hit them.
Once they have to stand on their own in the real world.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, any other podcast thoughts? Those were all of the questions before we move on.
Yeah, I mean, do you have any? Because, those are all my words. There you go. Used them up.
No. It is, you know, when we started, I think we came up with 10 or 15 topics.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, we'll just see what happens.
We'll go as far, you know, as far as it goes, as far as it takes us.
And so far, there hasn't been a week where we couldn't come up with anything.
Yeah. There have been some weeks where it was close to the wire. Where
bottom
we're like,
of the barrel.
Yeah.
But we can always, I do like that we have those 10 things giving us zest that we can fall back on. But sometimes I wish we had more of a, maybe this is something we could come up with. I don't know. some podcasts have kind of recurring episodes.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe there are, I don't know, not perfection. That's not the recurring episode I mean. But like fun ones.
Yeah. Maybe I'll do another Dungeons and Dragons podcast. Maybe one after I get Joe to play a little bit.
Ooh. Oh, another one I really liked, and I don't remember off the top of my head what number it was, but it's when my teens were on.
Yes. It was about like identity and finding yourself.
Uh-huh.
I did listen to that one when it came out, and I also listened to it while they were recording as well.
Uh-huh.
Again, teenagers have a lot of wise things to say because they have an interesting experience. They're becoming teenagers in these unprecedented times. Uh-huh. And it gives them a unique perspective. That is episode 72.
Oh, okay. It was later than I thought. I was going to guess earlier than that. Okay. Well, let's segue.
Sorry. No zany transitions.
This is the first episode of the year.
Yeah.
It is 2023.
Oh.
Welcome.
Didn't know we made it.
We're here.
We're still here.
So, because you said in a recent episode, you don't understand why everything... the new year is the time we reflect. I'm putting words in your mouth, potentially. But
I'm trying to remember.
Because I was talking about how I love January and I love the fresh start.
Because it just feels strange that it's like, this is the new year, but in some ways we're in the middle of winter.
Right.
And it just doesn't seem to make sense to me as to why in the middle of winter do we decide this is the time to start? Okay, yeah.
It has to do with the sun, though.
Yeah.
But anyway... here we are.
All right.
In a new year. Typically, in a new year, there is reflection, maybe some goal making.
Yeah.
And since we just reflected on the past 50 episodes, which was about 1 year of podcasting.
Yeah.
We have a few tips for if you want to do your own reflection. I am not relational and I am not reflective, naturally.
So then how do you like ground and center yourself in the new year then?
Oh, I do not. I erase my calendar and I put the new calendar up.
Yeah. Which I mean, I think is a means of reflection. I mean, do you think about it as you're like erasing those classes, like as you smear off like that, you know, that one quilting class where you're like, oh, that one didn't make it or this one did or like.
Nope. I'm like, bye.
It's just all.
So I have to work really hard at this.
Yeah. Okay, so maybe my tips won't help you. I don't know.
But this is what is so fascinating because I'm actually really more interested to hear your tips than to share any of mine.
All right.
But so you go first.
Okay. So I was thinking about how I was trying to reflect on this past year for the podcast because I've had to do it for episodes and for reflecting on Make Do as a whole.
Yes.
So here is what I had to do. Because your girl doesn't journal as much as I probably should. I don't. I went and scrolled through our Instagram until the beginning of the year. I also went back and looked at my Google Calendar.
Okay.
Now, that works for me because when I see those pictures or when I see the different events that I went through or whatever on the calendar, I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember that birthday party. I remember how this went.
Uh-huh.
And so it allows me to like... kind of like it's like a shortcut to go back.
Yes.
Richard and I keep a physical calendar in the house where we can write things down. So sometimes kind of flipping back through there and seeing where the days of the week fall in the month helps me to reflect. And then sometimes, because I'm very connected with clothing, pulling like clothing out of my closet when it's like a new season, it allows me to reflect on like, okay, I'm putting away my winter clothes and it allows me to reflect on all the things I did while I lived in those and pull out other ones. So that's my first tip is like finding physical objects or like, you know, like the calendar that's in your phone to kind of just go back through and see, oh, I remember when I went to that event or this one. So Facebook, Instagram.
Okay. Well, that's similar to mine, but you said it better. I said debrief in the moment and I think ways that I do that are like after our fundraiser, after Lemonade, the next day we sat down and we said, okay, what went well? What do we really, are we really proud of? Mm-hmm. What would we do differently? Like, what do we want to know for next year?
Yes.
And we did that immediately. I think that's a benefit of journaling.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's be honest. I'm never, it's, I don't, never say never, I guess, but like that doesn't seem like something I'm going to commit to doing.
Now, my sister is one of those people where it's not necessarily a diary for her, where she, as far as I know, never cracked it open. But according to her, she writes down the things that she did during that day. Uh-huh. And I've even done this on some vacations where I wrote down, uh-huh. okay, this is what I did this day. And that will help you to reflect because you can go back and like read that.
Yeah. So I think that even if it's not happening every day, mm-hmm. finding ways. And so I like the way that you said it about looking back at your calendar or pictures or clothes, having something that you're using to connect you to the thing that you're reflecting on. Mm-hmm. I also think a year is too much to do at once.
It's a lot.
And I think a day sometimes is too little, mm-hmm. because in a day you're still getting hung up on like what went poorly that day. Mm-hmm. Like a couple bad things could throw off all the good too. And so what has helped me, I can speak to with Make Do, is I write monthly updates for my board mm-hmm. to read. And so then at the end of the year, I can go back and look through those updates, or like when it's time to write the next one, I just copy it. Mm-hmm. So I like, as I'm deleting it, I can, and this maybe is what you were asking me about when I erase the calendar.
Yeah.
Am I doing this? But no, because also on our calendar, it's so faded by the yes. end of the year, you can't see it. But finding ways to reflect throughout the, if we're using year as an arbitrary amount of reflection time, hopefully you've been able to do some reflecting along the way.
Yes. Like doing it at regular intervals. I think that's an excellent yeah. idea.
Like this was the last 50 episodes. It's 100 mm-hmm. episodes, but we didn't reflect over all 100 of them.
No.
We just looked back at the last 50, and we have that 50th episode if we want. Mm-hmm. to go back and listen to see what it was like for the first 50. Mm-hmm. So kind of like mile markers along the way.
I like it. All right. Here's my next one. Write or talk about your reflections. Find a way to express your reflections that isn't just up in your head.
Okay.
So like we just did, you and I talked about it. So maybe you're going to go and grab coffee with a friend and you're going to sit down and you're just going to like talk about the year, or you sit down with your spouse or maybe your kids and say, well, what did you think about the last 3 months mm-hmm. or the last year or, mm-hmm. you know, now that you're, we'll take like a birthday, for instance. Okay. Now that you're this many years old, like think about
almost my birthday.
There you go.
In 2 days.
As of recording.
Yeah.
So that can be another time of reflection. And sometimes it can be uncomfortable to talk about it with someone. So maybe you just do like a voice memo on your phone where you can like talk about it there. You don't even need to get like a fancy journal. Just go into your notes on your phone and kind of type up what you thought about the day or the month or whatever you're reflecting on. But just find a way to like get it out there. Don't just keep it in your head, because sometimes it's hard to reflect on things when they're just floating around in your head. Because for me, things end up replaying that I don't want to replay.
Or all distorting. Of the negative stuff.
Yes. Yes. Because you're like, well, this is how this went. But as you're starting to write down the facts, you're like, ooh, wait, no, mm-hmm. there was some other good stuff in there.
Mm-hmm.
Or this happened. Or I met this person. Or whatever.
Yeah. My second tip is to think about what stands out. Mm-hmm. So that's why I said sometimes a day is too short. Because if I look back at yesterday, I might think, oh my gosh, that's the worst day of this month so far. But if I look back at the last 30 days, I'm not going to remember all of the bad. I'm also not going to remember all of the good,
mm-hmm.
but I am going to remember like the highlights and probably the lows, right? Mm-hmm. And so those are the things to pay attention to. This is, I guess, kind of related. I was just looking at through my Goodreads for all the books that I've read this year. And this is the first year that I started tracking in Goodreads and rating books, because someone was asking for book recommendations.
Ah.
And so thinking, gosh, what was even a good book that I had read? And so at first I thought, I'm just not going to rate or write reviews on books. But then I started rating them. There's 5 stars. And then I started leaving reviews for me to remember if I liked a book or not.
Yeah.
And there was some books that I thought, wait, why did I give this 3 stars? Or why did this book get the same rating? Because now when I look back on them, I have different feelings. It's interesting.
Because you're a dynamic person who has changed. The things that I enjoyed when I was younger, I might enjoy for nostalgia, but I'm going to enjoy them for different reasons. And maybe that changes my level of enjoyment. So looking back, you're looking at them as a different person.
Or I'm also looking back at what I remembered about the book, having not just finished it.
Yes.
You know, so like some books I think I rated low because I thought that book was just too long or whatever. You know, there's all an infinite number of reasons why you would rate something a certain way.
This makes me think of the movie Inside Out. Have you seen it? So there are like spoilers for this if you haven't seen
it's old enough I think you can spoil it.
So anyways, at the end, Joy and Sadness, they have like joint memories, core memories that they are both touching. So, you know, when originally when the character looked back on when she won, I think she didn't win, but when she was supported by her hockey team, or thinking about her friends, when she moved away, those memories got touched by sadness, but there was still joy and sadness all at the same time. But those memories didn't change. It was her, the person that changed. And so when we reflect, it's good to reflect, because when you look back, you're like, man, I felt really bad about that at the time. But now, like, I'm not saying I'm glad it happened.
Right.
But through that, I was able to do this.
Well, you get some perspective.
You get some perspective. And I think when people take this too far, it's where they get the everything happens for a reason and all of that. And I don't think that's true. I think we are dynamic, changing human beings who are able to salvage and find what we need, even in the past.
Right. Well, and the truth is everything happens. Like,
yeah.
It didn't need a reason.
It just does.
It happened.
It just is.
Yeah.
Like your shoulder. It just was.
Right.
It wasn't necessarily good or bad. Us moralizing events can really mess us up.
Right.
So as you're reflecting, consider that. Try not to moralize the events of your life into good and bad.
Right. Or like milk them for purpose.
Yeah. Because sometimes stuff just happens for quote, no reason. Like it doesn't make sense.
Or it happened because someone else made a decision that you had impacted you, but you had no part in the decision that they made.
Yeah. And the only thing that you can really change about that moment or that thing is the way you think about it. So what does it matter if, you know, like trying to figure out if it was good or bad? Well, what if the only thing that matters is what you think about it?
Yeah.
Like it has a bearing on how you live your life. Cool. Then you get to decide how you want to see that.
And this maybe connects to the last tip that I have, would be, why are you reflecting? Like, are you sitting down to reflect because it's January 1st and you think that you're supposed to?
Yeah.
Are you sitting down to reflect? Like, it's way easier for me to talk about this in terms of make-do because I have a budget for make-do and I have goals for make-do. And I have, you know, like, we need to look back at make-do and see what was working and what isn't and what are we doing moving forward. And I think that translates in relationships. And it translates in my own life, just me.
Yeah.
Well, me and Pip. But why am I reflecting? And am I trying to get out of it?
Yeah. Are you reflecting to beat yourself up because you didn't like how this year went?
Right.
That's not helpful.
Right. But something you said, and now I can't remember what it was, made me like connected with that. And now I don't remember. But I guess like, what did you, in any situation, like let's say it's something that you had to go through because of someone else.
Yeah. And it was no fault of your own.
Right. But you still went through it. Well, reflecting on, without moralizing, because I think that that was really that's a good point. Like you don't have to say that this was a good thing or a bad thing,
no.
But you are a human who is adaptable and has great capacity for growth and learning. And so being able to look at those moments with the intention of seeing where you grew and what you learned, that has value.
Oh, absolutely. Like you were talking about make do earlier. We talk about what we did well, what we wish we had done better, how, what are we going to do moving forward? And you can do those same things when you're looking at different aspects of your life.
And if it's only ever negative, if it's only ever like, what could we have done better? Mm-hmm. What are we going to change this year? That's really demoralizing too. If we can't also name, here are the things that we do really well. Here are the successes that we had.
So here's another tip for reflecting then to go along with this. When you are reflecting, please take into account the things that you cannot control. Mm. There was a pandemic that happened. No one could control that. There were things within that that people could control. However, the fact that it happened, we could not. And so to try and, like, people would think you're crazy for saying, well, yeah, the year of 2020, it was crazy. All of this stuff happened. Mm. To try and then take out the pandemic and say, well, look at all this terrible stuff that happened. It's like, no, you have to account for the fact that that was there.
Right.
So you have to account for the fact that, like, well, there was this thing that happened. I couldn't help it. And then use that to continue reflecting.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that'd be my tips.
And it doesn't have to be something that affects everyone for it to be
absolutely not relevant. That was a ginormous one that I knew all of you at home would understand. But like, maybe you found out that year that, or I don't know what a good example would be of something that I don't know.
But it could be it could be your dog that you have had for 13 years. Dies and like you're devastated for 6 months and you can't understand why because you think it was just a dog. Well, no,
exactly. So cut yourself some slack and give yourself some grace.
I hope no one's dogs die this year.
Yeah. No.
Or cats or any pets of any kind.
Yeah. May all animals live this year
forever
in the year of 2023.
I know. One thing we used to do in episodes was sing at the end.
Oh yeah, that's right. Do a little ditty at the end.
The one that I did on This Not That, 10 Things Better Than Perfect. I sang a song from The Sound of Music about So Long Farewell to Perfection.
Yes. Hey, sometimes that still comes back as me pretending to be a late night radio host at the beginning of some of our podcasts where I'm like playing around on the microphone.
Oh yeah.
I sing you a little song.
Uh-huh. Yeah. You start out like that a lot.
Yeah. That's the mode.
And then
I always
try to copy you and it never works very well.
I love it. It's great. All right.
Happy New Year.
Yes. Sweet, sour, and something we learned.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, I was like, I was feeling you're about to end this podcast. I was like, girl, we still got some stuff to do. I wrote some stuff. Did you write some stuff?
No, but I'll come up with it. I've got stuff.
Cool. All right.
You go first, sweet or sour?
I'm going to go sour first today. Okay, so I found out that some friends of mine are planning to move away sometime in the summer. I know, it's hard. But it happens, especially in our town.
In our town.
We have a lot of people that are, they just kind of
transient.
Leave. Yeah. Yeah. So I am trying to be okay with that. And I was reassuring them because they were saying things like, well, I'm really going to miss it here and I don't know if I'm ready for this. And I was like, look, your friends love you enough that they want you to go and live the life that you want to live.
Yeah.
Do not stay here because
You're right. Yeah. And it's hard when goodbyes are drawn out too. Like if they're not leaving till the summer, that can be like a hard thing too.
So I told them, I was like, look, we're going to have fun with the time that we have left and... I didn't say this part, but this is something that I hold on to. If it is a truly meaningful relationship that's meant to last a lifetime, we will make it happen.
Uh-huh.
I have a friend that has moved away, and I make time for her every year to go and visit her. So that's a relationship I'm planning to hold on to for the rest of my life, and I'm okay with friends coming and going.
Uh-huh.
It's okay. And if people move away and they no longer talk to me, I'm not hurt by that.
Right.
Because they got to live their life and I'm going to live mine.
Yeah. keep new friends, but make the old one as silver and the other gold.
What?
What okay, is this?
Someone else that just recently didn't know that song. We used to sing it at church when I was little.
Oh, really?
There's more to it.
I like the sound of that, though. How did it go again?
Okay. Make new friends, but keep the old one is silver and the other gold.
I like that.
Something about if you find a shiny penny and you put it in your pocket, never let it fade away.
Oh, yeah?
And like, I don't remember all of the verses.
I think
verses.
I'm going to have to do an embroidery of that. I think that's what I want to give them when they leave is embroidering, you know, make new friends, keep the old one is silver, the other is gold. Yeah, I love that.
And you know what? If silver, gold, platinum, it all comes in and out of style. So like, it's not like one is really more valuable than the other.
Oh, no. It's precious metals.
Right.
Like precious people.
Right.
There you go. So that's my sour.
Oh, that's a bummer.
It is, but
yeah, it's okay. I said that I would come up with one, but I don't know a sour.
It's hard to be sour when it's your birthday week.
Your birthday week. Also, I have several sweets. So I'm just going to name some sweets.
Just name some sweets.
First of all, I finished PT today.
Yes. So no more of that.
No more PT. Also, I gave my therapist an ornament that I had crocheted.
With the hand that you're trying, or with the arm that you're trying to heal.
Yeah. And I didn't have anything to like put it in, like a gift bag. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, well, I don't want to feel weird walking in with
just
a
holding
Christmas
it.
Present. So I just had it in my pocket. And usually I have a room, but all the rooms were full. So he was like, here, we'll just be out here, like in the open. So I was taking my jacket off and I was like, I have a present for you. And I just pulled it out of my pocket. Here, do you want this? And it was so weird. I said, this is just to be like a reminder of how you helped me and a bunch of other old ladies get back to the things that we love, like crocheting.
Yes. I love it. That's sweet. I like it.
Okay. I finished PT today.
Yeah.
Number two, this was my sour a couple weeks ago about my water bill being 3 times higher than mm-hmm. normal.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a plumber come out yesterday and I did indeed have a water like running through my toilet, even though I had turned the water off. He told me that the water company will reimburse you if there's a leak.
Ooh.
I didn't know that was a thing.
That is awesome.
And they come out and check and make sure you don't have a leak anymore. But he said, as long as you don't let it go and just don't do anything about it. And I said, people just let it go. People just keep paying 3 times more.
Yeah.
What is wrong with people? Anyway, so that's another suite is that I can get
reimbursed
for that.
Yeah,
because I'm now going to have to pay for the plumber.
Yeah, yeah.
So that money will just go to him.
Yeah.
And I had another. Oh, I just finished quilting a quilt that I'm about to give to my sister for Christmas, which will already happen by the time this airs.
Yeah,
this is my third time giving her this quilt for a Christmas present.
Okay, how does that work?
The first year I gave her the idea.
Okay.
She also gave me the idea of something she was going to make.
Okay.
That was like what we exchanged.
Cool. I'm down with that.
The second year that was a couple years later, I gave her the top.
Oh, yes.
But then it wasn't finished, so I had to take it back.
Yes. Like, ooh, look how pretty. Okay, now I'm going to go finish it.
And then this year, I'm actually finishing it. She's also the only person I have a Christmas present for. Maybe that's my sour. I just don't have present. I just couldn't. I even told people, I was like, don't even get me a present.
Yeah, because you're like,
I have nothing for you.
I have nothing for you.
Let's just be together.
Yes.
Let's eat key lime pie for my birthday.
Yep.
Let's, I guess, eat some ham on Christmas and then
call it a day.
Mooly got a new game called Mexican Domino Train or something.
Mexican Train?
Do you know it?
My family played Mexican Train from like the time that I was like itty bitty. I have played that game for years of my life. I freaking love it.
Well, Mooly got it for Thanksgiving and we never played it. But I think now we definitely will have to play. Well, now we're going to have to.
You're going to have to because, okay, so I have many a story.
But it's like special dominoes.
Yes,
right?
Because they have like two
trains
sides
on them.
Oh, yours have trains
on them?
No,
I don't know.
So like these dominoes, they have up to like 12 dots on each side.
Okay.
And what I love about this game is it could last forever. Well, no, okay, that's not true. Not forever.
I lost
not actually.
My smile.
I know she got Joe's face immediately fell. Okay.
Lasts forever?
I don't know. I never played Monopoly with my family.
It's the worst.
It's not my thing. But anyways, Mexican Train was, and what's great about it
is you have rounds. Okay. So you play each round with like a certain number.
Like phase 10.
Yes. Okay. Kind of like that. But not like each of the phases are basically the same. What changes is what number you're connecting all of your dominoes to.
Okay.
So like the 5 or the 6 or whatever.
Okay.
And it can last a really long time, which I like because it leads to conversation and lots of snacking, which is my favorite.
Okay.
But I have many playing until midnight while we snack and, you know, get mad at each other for not like, oh no, that's, you know, you can't do that. That's not, we have like homebrewed rules, but not everyone like follows them, but I love that. And all the arguing, cause it's not really bad arguing. It's just fun. So I'm so excited for you.
That's hysterical.
Yes. Mexican train. Love it.
Yeah. Does yours come in a fancy like silver case?
Like a little tin?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. It's quite large.
So I forgot what I was going to, oh yeah. Like I just am kind of over Christmas this year. I don't know. You had mentioned in a couple episodes earlier.
I was struggling to find Christmas spirit.
Not being in the spirit. I think when I get home, I always feel that like just being home.
Mm-hmm.
But really this year, especially like presents just are not part of that at all.
And that's okay. Sometimes the spirit of Christmas comes in different ways.
But I am feeling guilty for... It's like I feel like people are going to think that I don't love them because I didn't spend the time to get them a present.
Mm-hmm.
So I just have been telling people over and over, I don't have a present for you. I don't just manage your expectations.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
I don't have a present for
you. Just be upfront about it. And now I'm so excited. I'm going to make sure that someone brings a copy of Mexican Train with them when I go see my family. Oh, I freaking love that.
Well, yay, Mooley will be really happy to know.
Yes, good job, Mooley. I approve.
I had another sweet, but I don't remember what it was.
Okay.
Anyway, I'm going home. That's always exciting.
Yeah, always good. My sweet is that I think within the last like probably 3 weeks, now up to a month, I've noticed a change within myself and I simultaneously really, really like it, but I also kind of don't like it. So I've, like I said before, I've been finding my own voice and I have been... I've been doing a lot of self-reflection about what I need and what I'm looking for in my life and where do I get that from? Mm. And so that has expressed itself in what kind of faith community do I want to be in? What do I want my relationships to look like? How do I take care of myself? And what I'm realizing is a lot more of it depends on me personally than other people, which as a very relational person, it's kind of sad because I love, like a lot of the things that I loved about my faith community and my relationships is the surrounding, like the feeling of being surrounded by people and kind of feeding off of them. But I need to find how to sustain myself.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm figuring out how for Madison to be okay with Madison.
Yeah.
So that's my sweet. So the reason it's uncomfortable is because it can feel kind of lonely where I'm not feeding off of other people's energy. I'm not expecting people to give me something or to get something from people in the sense, like I'm not feeding off of their energy or anything like that. I'm just having to figure out how to sustain myself.
Yeah.
And I think this is part of getting older, growing up, maturing, whatever you want to call it. So it feels good in that sense, but it also feels a little sad that I'm leaving this old life behind.
Mm.
So
yes, it's interesting how I think that even as different as we are, there's parts of the human condition that are constant.
Mm-hmm.
And I have similar things of having to figure out who I am, but it's who I am with other people because I like being by myself.
Yes, yes.
And so that isn't the hard part for me. Mm-hmm. It is then who am I with other people? And because of my personality, that's like I'm different around different groups of people. So then what part of me is constant, like what is the real, if it all gets boiled down, what's the real,
what's
part
left
of me,
what's the essence of Joe?
So it's just interesting that for you that's happening
in the other direction.
I want to say solidarity, but that's not solitude.
Yes.
And for me, it happens among other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
fascinating. So is that what you're learning too? Or you have something different?
Actually, that's what I said for my learning is this is the way I put it. Madison, am learning to be my own love of my life. That I have been spending a lot of my time learning how to give to other people. And that's what I've gotten really, really good at. But I've never been good at giving to myself. And so the way that I'm kind of talking to myself about it is I am the love of my life.
Yeah. I think being single fast forwarded that for me. Also, man, your 30s. Just wait. It's amazing.
Okay. I'm ready for some good times. Let me tell you.
Yeah. You still have a couple years, right?
Yeah, I had not very many left. But
you're 28?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm now 39. In the future. The future Joe. This Joe's still 38.
But yeah, nice. Yeah.
So that's what you're learning.
That's what I'm learning. What are you learning? Anything new?
Nothing new.
Maybe Future Joe has now learned how to play Mexican train.
Yeah, Future Joe is going to have learned how to dominate Mexican train. Wait, is it a game you can win?
Yes.
Okay.
You play against everybody else. Okay. Don't worry.
Is it one of these games like Dungeons and Dragons where you don't win?
Where it's collaborative play? No.
Okay.
You can win.
Yeah. No, I hopefully I'm going to get some like good time off.
Mm-hmm.
I'll learn.
Actual time off?
Maybe.
All right.
Yeah. Like different time, you know?
Yeah.
There'll still be, it's still end of year. So I'll still need to be like sending some emails and doing some fundraising. But
yep.
Other than that, I'm leaving soon.
So exciting.
Okay. Well, happy new year. Happy new year.
Oh, my word. Do you want to do your new tradition of guessing the time?
Oh, my gosh. Because I was so wrong the other 2 weeks ago.
So wrong. You were like, what? Like,
No. A couple weeks ago, I was like 10 minutes off.
Yeah.
And it really...
Did it mess with you?
Messed with my confidence.
Oh, no.
And then last week, we turned it off before I guessed. And then I guessed within like 30 seconds.
Yeah.
But now I don't want to fail publicly in front of all of these. Listeners,
it's okay.
I think we're at 117.
You are so close. That's awesome. It was 118.
Okay, so I think anything within a minute count, right?
You're good.
Right. Yeah. Anything within a minute counts.
It's okay, Joe. Yes, you are good. You did okay. Excellent.
117. A lot of times, I think that I read your body language.
Yeah.
Because when you look at the time and you will have like a...
I try to make a face because I am trying to communicate to you how much time that we should like cut it off at. So I do that intentionally like, hey, Joe.
But sometimes when you look, I'm like, oh, we're over an hour.
Which,
but like Madison said, this is a concise way.
So concise. Anyone who knows me, if we go out to coffee together, we're talking for 2 hours. I hope you have set aside 2 hours to chat with me. At least. I don't do this whole business of like, oh, yeah, let's go for like a 45-minute coffee date. Mm-mm. No.
It depends on when it is. I would assume an hour.
Yeah. No. Two. If you got somewhere to be, I'll let you go. But if you ain't got nowhere to be,
like, I'm not going to lie to you, Madison. How considerate.
Anywho, speaking of letting you go, bye.
Bye. Thank you to my dear, dear friend Craig Hudson for our very createful theme music. You can hear more of Craig's music on Spotify under Craig Hudson, that's Hudson with a T, or you can just click on the link in the show notes. Also, be sure to connect with Make Do on Instagram at Make Do Create or on Facebook at Make Do Cersei. And visit our website, makedocreate.org, for upcoming classes, show notes, to order a face mask, lots of things.